I didn't get a promotion in my life when I moved to Cartersville and now Woodstock. I don't have any more joy or love for what I do than I did when I was 17. It's not a promotion. And bigger doesn't mean better. It just means bigger. But in so many ways, the happiest days of my life have been with you. And I look forward to the family reunion that'll be heaven when we don't move and get called away and do other things. So thanks for being my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love Woodstock and I love Cartersville, but I don't love them more than you. I mean it with all my heart. So thanks for being in church. So, all right, enough of that. Wow. Thanks for being here. Hey, let me say this. I can't stand self-promotion. I can't stand, and I really loathe and detest people that put themselves out there in such a way to draw attention to themselves that I'm even uncomfortable saying what I'm about to say. But God's really put this in my heart, Ricky, this year and going forward. What does it look like to be a pastor in 2019 and beyond? People have never been busier. The world is different in 2019 than it was in 2009 and 1999 and 1989. The gospel's the same. The Bible's the same, but the world's different.
Amen.
God put something in my heart that we actually launched today at First Baptist Woodstock. It's called Reset. It's a podcast. Raise your hand if you've ever listened to a podcast in your life, if you even know what a podcast is. Okay, some of us do. Some of us don't care, and that's totally fine. But for many people, the only Bible engagement they'll get, because life is so busy and hurried, and the pace is so frenetic, the only Bible engagement they'll get is the engagement with the Word of God on the go. So we started something today, some friends and I, called Reset with Jeremy Morton. First Baptist Woodstock's helping this come to be on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. I'm doing a daily devotion for 5 to 7 minutes. It launches every morning at 4. Actually, I had a lady at church yesterday go, "Are you really getting up at 4 and recording things every morning?" I said, "No, ma'am. I'm recording like 2 months of them at a time, and then boom, boom." Isn't technology great? I don't have to be up at 4 doing the devotion, but you might think I am if that's the time you want to listen to it. But if you go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or the app at First Baptist Church Woodstock, you can click on Reset. And what it is, it's a scripture, a devotional thought, and a prayer. Revival won't just happen on Sunday through Wednesday. Revival will happen when you walk in faithfulness and obedience to the Word of God every day of your life.
Amen.
My deep desire as a pastor is to encourage people and motivate people and inspire people to spend a portion of every day of their life in the Word of God. Every day of your life in the Word of God. You eat every day. You bathe every day, God willing. You sleep every day. You change clothes every day. Some of you exercise every day. You work every day. You are in transportation every day. You're moving every day. Every single day of your life, you've just been a portion of your day in the Word. I don't want to go into a day that I've not prayed over.
Amen.
I don't want to go to bed at night and close a day that I've not thanked God for. So every day in the Word. So that's what this is about. Reset, podcast, prayer, Bible thought, devotion. If you feel led to share it with somebody, do it. It's a tool that we really think will mean a great deal in the coming generation where people don't even bring these to church anymore. And if that's you, that's okay, because you might be having it on your phone. Raise your hand if you do that. Oh, yeah, some of y'all. Appreciate your honesty. That's good. Just don't be looking at Facebook during the sermon. That's all I'm asking, right? Take your Bible and turn in the Old Testament tonight to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Last night I preached on Commandment 9, which is do not lie. I want to share with you the one over the last 9 or 10 weeks that has meant more to me in terms of conviction than any of the others is Commandment 3, honor the Lord's name. Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Amen.
Commandment 3. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. I'll read it right after I say this, and then you repeat it after me, okay? Say, open my eyes,
open my eyes
that I might receive,
that I might receive
wonderful words from your law.
Wonderful words from your law.
Amen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Here's what the scripture says. This is such a good word. Convicting word. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Some translations say, don't take it in vain. Because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses His name. Did you hear that? Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses His name.
Amen.
Let's pray. God, a few moments of surrender in your presence can change us more than years of human effort. Tonight, we don't want to attempt to do better in our own strength or pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and think that with effort, discipline, and more of ourselves, we can improve the condition of our lives. Instead, tonight, God, we acknowledge that without the holy touch of heaven, nothing about us will change. We'll be the same old until we have a God encounter. As the old song sang that's been in my heart, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. We've sensed Him in this place through our singing and our worship and our fellowship and our praying. Oh God, would You bless this time of Bible teaching? Oh Lord, speak. You be the voice we hear. And we say, like Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be Your name. When the seraphim and the angelic host encountered the holy God of heaven, all they could say is, holy, holy, holy is the name. When John pulls back the curtain of heaven and lets us get a glimpse into heaven, all we see is the throngs, the masses around the throne of God saying, worthy is the name, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's something that's present in the name of Jesus that's not present in any other name. So speak tonight, King Jesus. Whether we've been in church for 5 weeks, 5 years, or a lifetime, whether this is our first time and we feel unworthy and we're confused and we're uncomfortable and we don't even know what to expect, oh Jesus, speak. Bless us with an encounter with Your name. Change us, Holy Spirit of God. Thank You for this pastor and for these wonderful people, for their earnest desire to see awakening and revival. In the name of Christ, we pray this. Amen.
Amen.
One of the first and most important things a parent does is give his or her child a name. A name means something. A name tells and describes the individual's identity. A name for the rest of their life will be associated with their personhood and their reputation. You know this, as simply as I can state it, our name is how we are known. When our name is called, that's how we respond and how we're known. 11 years ago, my wife and I felt led to give the name Ezekiel to our oldest boy. We had just come through a few years of infertility. Carrie was fighting multiple sclerosis. It was the hardest season of our life, but God spoke to us that we would have a boy. And we named him Ezekiel, which in the Hebrew Old Testament means God is strong. Ezekiel, God is strong. We named our little girl Mady. It's a family name on my wife's side. She said, if we're having a girl, we're naming her Mady. And I said, you're the boss, so we had a girl and we named her Mady. Our youngest child, we named him Abraham. He was literally born in the midst of our move, like the Abraham of the Bible, the child of movement. That's why we called him Abraham. We had him in the midst of the first major move in our family's life, in the life of our ministry. There's something about a name. The Bible speaks often about the importance of God's sacred name. Psalm 8:1 says this, Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is Your name throughout the earth. Psalm 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, the name. Psalm 29:2, ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due His name.
Amen.
Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe. Matthew 6:9, Jesus said, when you pray like this, begin this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed is Your name. Acts 4:12, when Peter was directing those first century believers on how to share the gospel and to be saved, this is what he said, for there is salvation in no other name. Acts 4:12, there is one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. He repeats it 3 times. Name, name, name. Romans 10:13. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Lord. At the name of Jesus. There are many names that are attributed to God in the Bible. Genesis 1:1 begins with an introduction of God's name. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's the name Elohim. It means He's a powerful God. He created all that is.
Amen.
Genesis 14:10 says, "Blessed be the God Most High, who will deliver your enemies into your hand." It's the name Elyon. He is God Most High. Genesis 15:2 says, Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless?" Lord God, it means Adonai. It means my warrior God, the one who fights for me and goes before me. Genesis 22, Abram called the name of the place the Lord will provide. Jireh means God is provider. He provides for my life. Jireh. It's God's name. Exodus 15, Jehovah Rapha, He's our healer. God spoke to the Israelites and said, "I will cast the diseases and the sicknesses away from you if you will look to me. I am Rapha, the one who heals you." That's His name. There's so many in the Old Testament. Nisi, He is the Lord our banner. Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies us. Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Roy, the Lord is our shepherd. Jehovah Shema, He is the Lord who is present and will never leave us or forsake us. It literally means always with you.
Amen.
Shema, always with you.
Hallelujah.
It's His name. Right. The dearest and the best and the most precious songs of the Christian faith, song, singing, worship, they're founded upon a name. One of my favorite songs the last few years is this song. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. With all our hearts we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. That's His name. How about this one? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but what? But wholly lean on what? Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. For a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. The glories of my God and King, blessed be the name of the Lord. Here it goes. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be. And it just blessed be the name through the whole song. Blessed be the name. Modern writers have done a good job capturing the essence of this as well. God's still raising up Fanny Crosby's, I believe. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in You are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Amen.
When we were at kids' camp this past summer, the little band led third, fourth, and fifth graders in my song. And one of the most vivid memories of kids' camp I have is my own little boy on the front row lifting up his hands and singing about the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He wasn't singing about another name. He was singing about one name. The ancient rabbis knew the power of His name. The Orthodox Jews would not even speak or write the name of God. Listen to this. The ancient rabbis would not even dare to print God's name for fear of not addressing it or printing it absolutely accurate. They were afraid to even pronounce the name of God outside the synagogues in common speech. When the scribes were making copies of the Old Testament, when they came to the name of God, true story, they would place their pen down, they would rise, they would go bathe themselves, change their clothes, put on different clothes, then they would come back with a pen that had never been used, and with a brand new pen, only then would they even attempt to write the holy name of God. That's what this name represents historically to the people of God. This is not like every other name. God's name is so holy and sacred that in Isaiah 6, when the angelic seraphim saw the vision of God in the temple, holy, holy, holy is His name. And they had to use all of their wings to cover their face and to cover their feet and to cover their body because His name radiated glory and awesomeness. His name, the exposure of His name. Genesis 11:4 says, at the Tower of Babel, God mixed up all the vocabulary of the people when what? They wanted to make a name for themselves.
Right.
They took the focus off His name. If this is the story of the Bible, hear me. What an awful thought. What a tragic thought that someone would drag the name of God down into the mud. That you or I, in our speech, or in our passivity, the name Jesus, which saves and heals, we would use it trite, or cursing, or profanely. Who wrote this Exodus 20 passage? His name's Moses. Moses knew the power of his name. The way God supernaturally spared Moses at birth, and his sister Miriam watched him on the banks of the river when he was put in a basket and pushed away. Imagine his mama having to put the tar on that little basket and put him out on that water. You know the story. The princess, the daughter of the Pharaoh, the king, she sees him, and Miriam thinking fast, princess, can I help you? Shall I bring one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby? Oh, great idea. Imagine Mrs. Moses when Moses comes back and, what? He's going to get raised where? By who? Oh, Lord Jesus, help. I assure you, they called on his name. The Bible tells us that when Moses grew to be a man, after 40 years of isolation in the desert, on the back side of Midian, get this, on the back side of Midian, after he married and was tending the sheep of his father-in-law named Jethro, through a burning bush, Moses, a middle-aged adult, sees this bush and he encounters it and goes up to it, and because of the holiness, take off your shoes, take off your sandals, lie face down. Who are you? Who are you? And what does the bush say? I am who I am. The Lord is my name. Moses hears about the name. To fast forward the story, months later, Moses says, I can't deliver these people. I can't do this by myself. There's just no way. I can't speak. I'm not articulate. I'm not strong. Okay, I'll help Aaron. I'll raise up Aaron. Aaron is led by God to have this meeting with Moses, interestingly enough, at this same desert, this same Mount Horeb, this same Mount Sinai. And God speaks to them in a voice. You know what He says? He says, I am who I am. This is my name. And God says to Moses and Aaron in Exodus that the next time you come to this mountain, the next time you are here at the base of this mountain, you will see the holiness of God in a way that you've never seen it before. God's character in His name. Here's where we are tonight. Exodus 19 and 20, the backstory. We're brought within the story of Exodus to God's big plan for Moses and Aaron to show them His name. Moses was an Israelite, raised in Egypt. He encounters the burning bush. He and Aaron hear from God in the desert at the same general area. And now, years later, all these people have been delivered. After all the plagues, here they are, gathered around Mount Sinai. And God is going to do something in their midst. It would be inexplicable. Amidst the smoke and the fire and the thunder from the heavens and the sounds of the trumpets here at Mount Sinai, as God is giving to them what's the Ten Commandments, He starts Commandment 1, no other gods before me. Commandment 2, don't make idols. And then he gets to commandment 3. And what does he say? Do not misuse my name.
Hey.
And immediately, it had to go back in their minds to that conversation that they'd had with God on two other occasions in the desert where God had said, I am who I am. This is my name. Honor his name. To take the Lord's name in vain or to misuse God's name, it means to lift it away, to carry it off for your own purpose, or to cast God's name away, to use it for your own agenda. God's name is his name, not your name. It's his name first and foremost. God does not want us to use his name for our agenda. God wants us to be transformed that we might be on his agenda.
Amen.
Do not use his name in vain. Do not rush over his name. Do not waste his name. Do not be useless or flippant with his name. Here's what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes. Let's be honest as the people of God, as we have revival tonight, as we have spiritual awakening, about our failure to worship God's name. Let's repent of all misuse of the name of God, all the times in our life when we've used God's name in vain. How worthy and how holy is the name of God. The Bible tells us that all the heavens and the earth adore God, but how faultless is so much of what proceeds from our mouth. How many times have I used the name of God in vain? Do you realize that before the Ten Commandments addresses murder, is that a big deal? Or adultery, or stealing, or lying? Are any of those things a big deal? Before God addresses any of that, what does he say here in Exodus 27? He addresses the use of his own name. That's how important it is to God.
Amen.
We know his name and use it carefully. This is in the Bible and it's sobering. Matthew 12:36. On the day of judgment, every single person will give an accounting for every thoughtless word that comes
Amen.
From their mouth. Before God, I'm going to give an account for every word I've ever said. How sobering. May my words exalt Christ. May my words encourage God's people. May my words be a testimony to the lost. Or maybe I should never speak them. Let's be careful when we claim to speak for God or speak about God. Let's not use God's name to advance our own agenda. The older I get, I'm trying to be careful with stuff like this. Hear me, and I'm a pastor, and I'm really trying to be careful about this. People that say in church, especially from spirit-led contexts like I want to be from, God told me, hey, brother, God put on my heart. Hey, God told me, hey, you know, I was ready. And we just flip it out there like, whoa, you just said God. Are you sure? Hey, when you start quoting somebody and you quote God, make sure, right? Slow down and give respect and awe and fear before we claim divine authority over our man-made plans. How many times is it our idea and we're just quoting God to try to give it a measure of credibility? I'll just quote God and that way people can't challenge me or question me or act like it's not, you know. You can't rush credibility. A good way to check is what we're saying, our speech, our communication. Is it okay? What does the Word of God say? Do I speak with the fear of the Lord? Am I mindful of everything that comes out of my mouth? I'm going to have to give an account for this.
Right.
And then the way that I speak, what do my godliest friends say about me? The godliest people that I know, people that I respect, and man, their walk with God encourages me and motivates me. What do they think about the way that I talk? The words that come from my mouth. Well, what about our praying when we mention God's name in our prayers? Jesus addresses this in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who babble on with their use of the name. Have you ever heard people, I'm so not trying to be critical, but I'm just telling you, I've heard it, I've done it, I'm guilty, probably you've heard it too. But people, when they get up, they pray and they say, Father God, Lord God, Most High. And they say God's name 19,000 times in the middle of their prayer. And there's two ways to look at this. Either A, that's really worshipful, or B, they're just kind of stuttering and using his name as filler until they can think of what to say next. And they're more conscious of who's listening to them out here than who's receiving it up there.
Amen.
That's right.
When I speak to my mama, mama, thank you for the eggs, and mama, that bacon was good. Mama, thank you for the biscuits, and mama, I tell you, thank you for it. Mama, that napkin, mama, that fork, I tell you, mama, 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 mama. One time, and she knows who I'm talking to.